wicked people seem to get away with blue murder. Sometimes they even seem to get blessed, while you and I might be trying to do the right thing and suffering for it. Why does God allow that? What's going on? I'm Bernie Diamond, and thanks so much for joining me again this week on Christianity Works as we continue in this series of messages that I've called How Long, O God, How Long? And I think it's really important to take a look at what God's up to when the wicked seem to be getting blessed and the righteous are suffering. Because when that happens to us, it just seems so unfair. So let's head into God's Word and listen, stay tuned, because in a few minutes I'll be telling you how you can request your free copy of our latest life application booklet, When Will God Finally Show Up? I don't know how you're feeling today, but me, I'm excited about the fact that we're together again this week. It's a real joy and a privilege for me to be able to share this time with you, because God wants to join hands with us, with you and with me, to get about his business of using us, imperfect as we may be, to share his powerful, compelling, wonderful, awesome love with the next guy. And that's something I believe we're going to be encouraged to do in our time together today. Over the last couple of weeks on the program, we've been sharing the journey of a man by the name of Habakkuk, an Old Testament prophet. I know, it's a bit of a funny name, but he wrote one of the smaller books right towards the end of the Old Testament, and it's called, not surprisingly, Habakkuk. And the whole thing about this book is that this man has a complaint against God. He's seeing some terrible things happening amongst the tribe of Judah, the southern tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. Injustices, violence, justice being perverted. And he pours his heart out to God. He has a real burden. If you have a Bible, open it up towards the end of the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore judgment comes forth perverted. And we saw last week how honestly he challenged God, not in some disrespectful way, but crying out to his God. I love how real it is. You can read it for yourself in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 1, through to chapter 2, verse 5. And yet God opens Habakkuk's heart to hear from him, to the point where God gives him a vision and tells him to write it down. Now, my hunch is that the things that Habakkuk was feeling and thinking and saying to God are pretty much the same as the things that we feel and think and want to say to God sometimes too, because the world seems so unfair. We see companies going broke, shareholders losing their investments, yet corporate executives taking obscenely large salary payouts, tens of millions, while the small shareholders suffer. We see people in power, leaders, who should be caring for their people. Instead, they're looking after themselves. We see children dying of starvation and disease, while those in the wealthy West spend more each week on cat and dog food than they do on helping the poor and needy. We see injustices happening all around us and wonder, how long, O Lord, how long? Why do you let these things go on? Why? What sort of a God are you anyway? We talked about those things last week. This week, we're going to see how Habakkuk responds to God, because some amazing things happen in the book of Habakkuk. God speaks, and it powerfully changes Habakkuk's heart and mind. My hunch is, as we listen to God speaking this week on the program, God's going to do exactly the same for you and me. Part of the vision that God gave Habakkuk was about what would happen to the wicked. We see the wicked, and they seem to be winning. But have a look at what God has to say about the wicked. His perspective, his take, it begins in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 6. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion? How long must this go on? Will not your debtors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their victim, because you have plundered many nations. The peoples who are left will plunder you, for you have shed men's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Woe to him who builds his realm by unjust gain, to set his nest on high to escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your own life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. It's amazingly how accurately and powerfully God's word of a few thousand years ago is able to speak into the circumstances of today. It's interesting recently during the financial crisis that the world economy has been going through. We've watched how the apparently rich and powerful have fallen. These men who built their wealth on debt and on creditors and a pack of cards, they looked mighty and powerful from the outside, but inside there was nothing there. They had big houses and shiny, expensive cars and servants. Do you know that as real estate prices plummeted in the city where I live, the part of the market that lost the most ground were the multi-million-dollar mansions overlooking the water? Woe to him who builds his realm by unjust gain to set his nest on high to escape the clutches of ruin. Listen to me. So many people in this world are living below the poverty line. So many. So many are struggling to make ends meet. And what makes it worse is to see the wealth of the people who run the economic systems that keep the many in poverty while the few grow wealthy. So many people struggling. God, how can you let that happen? How can you let this injustice go on? The wealth of the wicked, their comfort, their luxury, they drive past us in their motor cars, makes things so much worse. Now, please, don't get me wrong. All who are wealthy aren't wicked. Some of the wealthiest people I know are the greatest givers into God's work. In fact, without some of those people, you and I wouldn't be sharing this time together at the moment. But you know what I'm talking about. The pain and the distress of the wealth of the wicked in the face of the misery of the many. But listen to me. God has heard you cry, and his judgment has already fallen. One day, his justice will be done. He will not allow the wicked to go unpunished. He will not, because he is a God of infinite love and infinite justice. Woe to him who builds his realm by unjust gain, to set his nest on high to escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your own life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. We see what's happening now. We see how unfair the world is, with so few having so much of the wealth and so many going hungry and starving. And it looks so unjust. But you and I can rely on God's justice to deal with those who oppress and harm. And in the meantime, the most powerful thing that you and I can do is to pray for our enemies, to pray that God will change their hearts and show them mercy, because God ultimately one day will judge the wicked. One day you will have to stand before God and give account, and I will have to stand before God and give account. One day he will judge, and one day justice will be done. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. In those dark times, in those difficult times, in those times when God seems to have left you to fend for yourself, he is, in point of fact, doing a mighty work in your life. And it's in those times that it's so important to see what's going on through his eyes. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called When Will God Finally Show Up? It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to encourage you through those difficult times. In fact, each chapter contains a series of life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that booklet will be on its way to you before you know it. It's really that easy. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, you only have to turn on the evening news to see how horrible people can be to one another. Our propensity to hurt one another never ceases to amaze me. But what if one day there's a day of reckoning? Well, what if? Now, it doesn't matter who we are or where we live, we've all felt that sense of injustice that Habakkuk was taking before God. And so today I want to share one of the things that God had to say to Habakkuk and to you and to me in response to this burden that Habakkuk laid at God's feet. It's about the wicked people in the world, the ones who seem to be winning today, the ones whose wickedness seems to be rewarded in our day rather than being punished. We look at these people from wherever it is we sit. We look and we wonder, what sort of God is it that can let this go on? Well, here it is. Here it is from God's own word through the prophet Habakkuk. I'm beginning at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 12. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbour, pouring it in from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. The violence that you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed men's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Listen to what God's saying again. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes his town by crime. You see why, on the surface at least, this is a difficult message to share. How does this work everywhere and for everyone? For the wealthy and the poor, for the free and the oppressed? But let me tell you something. Whenever I feel this, I remember once preparing a program all about the fear of God and thinking to myself, man, who wants to hear about the fear of God in this world today? And yet within a few days of that program going to air, I received an email from a leader of a group of rebel fighters in Africa. For his safety, I won't tell you exactly where. And he told me how this program on the fear of God changed his life, how he'd been killing people for 13 years, but on that day in that room, when he received the word of God, he decided to lay down his gun. I heard from him just recently. He's had to flee the land where he fought because those around him weren't incredibly pleased at his decision to accept Jesus and to lay down his gun. He's living as a refugee in another country now. There's power in God's word. And let me say this plainly, directly, simply, and lovingly. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes his town by crime. If that's you, then today you can turn away from that bloodshed and crime. Today, like that rebel fighter, you can lay down your gun. You can turn away from the wrong that you've been doing. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbour, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. If that is you, then you can turn away from that evil right now. Maybe it's not easy. Maybe there's a cost and a price to pay. But if you don't turn, listen to what God's word says. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it's your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. The violence you have done will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed men's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Perhaps we're together for such a time as this, a time where God is calling someone, maybe you, to turn away from the evil that you're doing. And perhaps it's not you that's perpetrating the evil. Perhaps you're someone who's being harmed by bloodshed and violence and exploitation. Perhaps you're someone who's being hurt by someone else who's dominating you and treating you unfairly. Perhaps you're aching under unfair treatment and pain and suffering. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever it is that you're going through, please, please listen to God's word today. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God sent him to show us what God himself is like, loving, powerful, gracious, and yet just. God sent him to die on that cross for you and me, to pay once and for all for our sin. God sent him to rise again and to ascend into heaven to give you and me a new eternal life that starts right now. The moment we turn away from our evil ways and give our lives over to him. This kindness is meant to lead us to do that, to turn away from evil and to honour God. If we do, we have eternal life. If we don't, we have eternal judgment. The choice belongs to each one of us. Father God, I have heard your word today, and it has cut deep into my heart. I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong. Please forgive me. I turn away from all my evil ways, and Jesus, from this moment forward, you are the Lord of my life. You and you alone. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please give me this new life in Jesus' name. And I pray for all those who are doing evil in this world. I pray that you would reach out to them, touch them with your love and your grace. I pray your mercy upon them. I pray you would change them with the same love that has changed me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to encourage you and to help you live in victory on your journey with Christ. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. To get instant access, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign-up right there toward the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. Now, it's amazing how much idolatry, idol worship, is alive and well. In some parts of the world, people actually worship physical idols. In other parts, like my own, we make an idol of money or success. But have you ever asked yourself, is worshipping this idol doing me any good? When you and I stand back, I mean, we take a big step backwards away from our day-to-day lives and look at this world and the way the human race is living and behaving, well, some of it's pretty crazy. If we were some intelligent life form that just kind of lobbed in from another planet without any of the preconceptions that our life here on Earth has given us, and we looked at the human race, what would we see? What would we think? A world with finite resources in the ground that we use at an ever-increasing rate to damage the fragile environment on which the whole human race depends. A race that's able to produce more than enough food to feed everybody, but one where the few are obese and the many are starving. A world where there's plenty of room for everyone, but where 40 to 50 wars are raging at any one time. And a world where a few countries have enough weapons pointed at one another to destroy every living thing on the planet 1,000 times over, but whose leaders regularly sit down together over lobster and champagne at global economic summits. It doesn't matter who we are, what we believe, what our politics are. It's a crazy world we live in. But you have to ask yourself, why is it so? We're not stupid by and large, so why do we do such stupid things? And then we carry on as though there's nothing wrong. We carry on as though it's all okay, until some guy cries out, "Excuse me, but I think the emperor's got no clothes." That's exactly what Habakkuk did. Everyone around him was living life as though everything was fine, as though there was nothing wrong. But Habakkuk saw what was really going on, and his heart ached out. So he cries out to God, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for your help, and you will not listen?" And over the course of this short book in the Old Testament, God gives Habakkuk God's perspective on what's going on. That's what we were looking at before the break. God makes sense of all the evil stuff people are doing by saying there will be judgment. But as God wraps up telling Habakkuk and you and me about the judgment that will befall those who are wicked and who oppress people and who cause bloodshed, he kind of oddly inserts a small passage about idols, idolatry, you know, bowing down and worshipping idols. Have a listen to it, because my hunch is that it's really important. It kind of explains some of the stupidity that's going on. Have a listen, beginning at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 18. What use is an idol once its maker has shaped it? A cast image, a teacher of lies. Its maker trusts in what has been made, though the product is only an idol that can't speak. Alas for you who say to the wood, wake up, to the silent stone, rouse yourself. Can it teach? See, it's gold and silver plated, and there's no breath in it at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Now, as I said, it's kind of weird. God's just been talking about how he's going to punish the wicked. Even though they seem to be winning now, it's only temporary. God is a just God, and he will judge them. And that's a good thing for anyone who's oppressed or suffering now. We need to know that God is going to set it right one day. But why is this thing about idolatry here at this point? What's it got to do with anything? Well, God gives us a hint a bit earlier in chapter 2 of Habakkuk. We looked at it before the break. Have a listen. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 14. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. Verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is what God's talking about here. All we see at the moment is the reality of the fact that so many wicked people seem to be going, well, unpunished, even rewarded, even doing well. But the great reality, the great unseen reality is this: the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. As sure as God made little green apples, the reality of God is as great as the reality of the great and mighty oceans that cover the earth. We live in our cities and towns. We live inland. We ignore the ocean. We pretend it's not there. And it's the same with God. We live here on earth and we ignore him. We pretend he's not there. We put our faith in money, in wealth, in power, gain, comfort. All those things that cause us to abuse our positions of privilege, all those things that one day God's judgment will crash down on like a tsunami. And you see, it's this rejection of God. That's why all these bad, mad, crazy, evil things are going on. Because instead of worshipping God, people are worshipping idols. Now, in some parts of the world, we don't make physical idols so much. Wealth is our idol. Position, reputation, comfort, those things are our idol. But listen to what God's saying to us today. Whatever our idol is, whether it's a physical thing that we bow down to, and I have to tell you, many people in many parts of the world do that. There are countless people listening to this program today who worship physical idols. Or whether the things we're worshiping in the wealthy West, like wealth, an idol is an idol, and it's completely useless. You can't worship God and an idol. You just can't. God made that clear in the first and second commandments. Listen to this, Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 to 5. God says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And so whatever idol you or I happen to be worshipping, physical or otherwise, as long as we do that, evil will come upon us. And so instead of sacrificing our lives to God, doing away with our evil ways, loving God and loving others as we love ourselves, so long as we worship idols, we will continue to live in our evil ways. But God is totally different to our idols. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. You see, God isn't some dead, useless thing. He's alive. He's the great reality. He's the powerful God who created the whole universe. The call of God to each one of us today is to turn away from those other things that we worship and to worship him alone. Because Jesus alone should be the Lord of our lives. We cry out, "How long, O Lord, how long?" And yet we don't invite him into our lives? What do we expect? Well, that's pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus and live in the victory that he purchased for you on that cross. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw ever closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works TV broadcast or the daily fresh devotional video. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to lay hold of just the teaching that you need for what you're going through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, When Will God Finally Show Up? And of course, the fresh devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life, to bring you his joy, his peace, and his power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.